Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Matt, and Jay.
We got national divorce on the menu tonight. People have been talking about it. It's been getting a lot of buzz in social media, and people are actually covering it in national media as well. So I figure we'll jump on board here. But first, we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. We go to Ricky first. He's calling us from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. I really appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Here's what's on my mind. I was hoping you were going to cut in and monitor me, but since you didn't, I'm not even going to address that at this point in time, but I will at some other point. And this refers to the call last night. But what I will address is I did have an issue last night.
Okay.
When I was announced. I'm
when
Ricky
you were
from
announced.
McDonald's. Well, when the host pulled my call in, you know?
Yeah, no, I actually heard your call last night, and I actually had a conversation with Aria about it today. I told her, hey, look, you were accusing Ricky of interrupting you, and in fact, that's what Aria was doing to you, Ricky.
I know.
So
it was brutal.
I did have some, I did share some words with her about that today. And,
well, also, since you bring it up, Ian, when it came down to the biggest problem, she didn't know about this at all. It happened in the afternoon yesterday when it came down.
You're talking about what Marjorie Taylor Greene was saying about national divorce? Well, that's okay. We don't expect people to know what every little politician somewhere is saying about things. So, that's not – I don't care what politicians say either. I tend to agree with what Aria said. I pay near to zero attention. I happen to know about the Marjorie Taylor Greene comment because I am kind of zeroed in to the world of news regarding secession and
independence. You do pretty good. You don't give yourself enough credit.
All right. Well, what were you calling about tonight exactly?
Well, what it comes down to is since I wasn't even going to name names, but since it did, I guess it's okay. It happened the previous week, but then I said, okay, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's a common mistake. Now, last night, again,
what happened?
When I called in, she says, Ricky from the state of Pennsylvania. This is the
second time. It sets you off, doesn't it?
Well, here's why, Ian, because I'm Ricky from the Commonwealth. First, and also I'm a member of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, by the way, Ricky, we do have another Commonwealth original here. Jay Noon was, I believe, born on the land known as the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Isn't that right, Jay?
Yeah, thanks for saying that correctly.
The problem is that used to be known as our sister. But what happened with them is quite some time ago now, because they're municipalities and getting some status within their government, the people lost control of their Commonwealth status.
We held for
250 years.
The people of Pennsylvania
Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts.
This is an excellent
topic, Ricky.
Yeah, we held
it for 250 years. But basically, it comes down to this, Ian, because I'm a member of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and things that are okay to say, you can say Pennsylvania, you can say the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you can say PA, or just the Commonwealth. But calling it the state of Pennsylvania is personally insulting, especially to me, because I'm so not a statist. And neither are people here, and like elected officials, our government would have a spasm.
It would seem to me that if you were insulted by someone calling it a state instead of the Commonwealth, that would be a kind of a statist opinion, but Jace seems like he wants to weigh in on this, so I want to make sure he has a chance.
Yeah, so, language means a lot, and a lot of people actually speak in legalese and don't even really know they're speaking legalese. Like, for example, when you get pulled over by a cop, he'll say, do you understand why I pulled you over? And that cop might not even know he's speaking legalese, but literally to consent or to comprehend or to agree to understand comes directly out of William Blackstone's Commentaries for English Law, which was the number two selling book. It was a four-part book set when the country was being settled after the Bible. Anyways, to understand means to be under the jurisdiction or the dome of essentially a government or an entity. And since police officers are, you know, they wear many hats, you know, they're a constitutional peace protection officer, but they're also enforcing copyright and intellectual property law. And most people are unknowingly operating under some form of copyright or intellectual property. They go get these special permission slips from the state and whatnot. But, like, well, people will say, oh, do you live in Henniker, New Hampshire? And I'm like, well, the word in could be construed as within. And, you know, there's the Henniker town, like this dirt that's on the nation of New Hampshire, I like to refer to it. But to call it the state of New Hampshire is actually accurate, too, because they use that term state in the organic constitution to where, like, Pennsylvania uses a term commonwealth. So I don't like to say I live in Henniker or live in New Hampshire. I live on the soil of the land that's known as Henniker or known as New Hampshire. I don't live in this legal fiction or in this corporation.
Well, you know, it's fun, if I may say so, Jay, it's funny you say that, because when it comes to the commonwealth, what that refers to is the people and the land, but also our form of government. Which Massachusetts used to have.
Well, that's part of the confusion, right? Because when somebody says the state or the Commonwealth or whatever, you know, a lot of people get confused. I would say it's more confusing with the word state because it's more common.
It's a deliberate act, too, I think.
It is deliberate. They want people to think, when they think of the state of New Hampshire, they want people to think of the, you know, the old man in the mountain and Mount Washington and the trees and the granite. And,
right. And
you know,
in the case of your government, from what you've been telling me and what I've heard, you have issues when it comes to dealing with your government that Pennsylvania just doesn't have.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, we have very much for the people, by the people.
That sounds like a bunch of BS to me.
Oh, you don't think so?
Nope, I don't believe it either.
You might be surprised, I'll be honest with you. I've lived here all my life, you know? I've seen a lot of stuff. I mean, the only thing we had a problem with was about 25 years ago, and this is something that everybody needs to watch for, and it kind of scared me when you were saying about people coming to New Hampshire, because what happened with us, it's droves of New Yorkers starting to come in. And people already voiced their self and say, we don't want them here. Well, you couldn't stop it. And what ended up happening is New York City people especially were bad. With upstate New York, you're dealing with status, but they're more manageable. And with the people from New York City, what they started to do quickly is take over the townships. In fact, the township I used to be in, of 10 township board members, 8 of them were from New York City. Now, that got dealt with over time.
I'd like to interject real quick. It really shouldn't matter if you have an actual government that functions the way that the founding documents, such as the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and, you know, if they actually functioned, you know, with respect to those documents within that limited scope, because, you know, 99% of your neighbors could, you know, vote to, I don't know, apply a tax to your property to put their kids in school, and if they actually operated under the tenets of the Constitution, they couldn't do that. And so what I believe has happened is, and in Massachusetts is a commonwealth, and you might want to look into this also, Ricky, with respect to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. If you look up in Massachusetts what they call their code, but they call it MGL. So if you look at this MGL...
Is that like the PA code?
Probably, but so they call it...
Okay, that's crap. That's crap. When it doesn't go in accordance with our law, I ignore it, but I do that at my own risk, and I deal with it.
All right, let me explain this, because you may understand this, but if anybody wants to look up the code and, you know, wherever they are on a state level, Massachusetts, the example is they give, and this is right in every town charter, actually, so this would be Town of Palmer charter, and they reference in the definition section of MGL. So MGL in all capital letters, M period, G period, L period, in all capital letters stands for the Massachusetts General Laws. Then they have MGL in all lowercase. And I could have that backwards, lowercase and capital part. The MGL, in, let's say all lowercase, is the codified statutes adopted under the Uniform Commercial Code, blah, 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 1923. So that's a statutory code thing that essentially came out of what I believe is, you know, when the federal government started ruling, you know, the states on downward with the Reconstruction Acts of 1867.
Right, yeah, I've covered some of this in the past, Jay. Go ahead.
And so anyways, that's that codified law that applies to all these U.S. citizens and legal fictions and corporations and associations and trusts and whatever legal entities, essentially the Massachusetts definition of person. So, you know, people should understand there is, you know, two sets of citizens is basically the bottom line. You have, you know, state nationals. You have a citizen of the state of New Hampshire, and then you also have United States citizens, which essentially right around the Civil War, these United States citizens were a second class of citizen that was sort of granted, where the federal government essentially, best I can tell, took ownership of slaves that were the property of slave owners, and I don't agree with slavery one bit, but that's just the way it was.
There wasn't a national citizen before that, right? It didn't even appear.
Well, Grant had 20 of them in the White House, so regardless, you know?
Who did?
President Grant.
Okay. But before the 14th Amendment, citizen didn't appear in the Constitution, isn't that right?
I believe in Article 4, when it talks about the structure being elected a president, it does say a citizen of the United States, and that's a definitely previous, 1864. No, what's that? Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. But that has been explicit that is, the citizen of the United States in that particular. It could be United States of America, which we got to understand. The United States is just the District of Columbia, territories and possessions. The United States of America is a union of independent sovereign nation states. So just like Spain and France are members of the European Union, but they are independent sovereign nations, New Hampshire and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania are sovereign independent nations. And
we definitely utilize that if we need to, and we push it. And when do push it, you get results.
Yeah. Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. Appreciate it, man. All right. Did you want to keep going on that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Look, I get that he's frustrated by, somebody calling the state of or the Commonwealth.
Dude, everybody from the state of Pennsylvania. I'm from right across the border in Binghamton, New York, and everybody from the state of Pennsylvania acts like that.
No, oh, do they really?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's just one kook.
Nobody cares.
Well, it's essentially nitpicking, and he might be taking it a little too serious or having fun with it. Or whatever. And, a little bit of forgiveness goes a long way.
I think he does take it a little bit too serious.
On behalf of smokers in New York, thank you, Ricky, for the cheap smokes in Halsted. You're awesome.
And, by the way, as far as, he was talking about how much better Pennsylvania is compared to New Hampshire, he kind of referenced that they don't have some of the problems that we have here in New Hampshire. I was just pulling up the handy little website, usdebtclock.org, which has the state debt as well as the national debt, and it's just like constantly going up, right, like the debt numbers. And you can't look at the raw numbers because obviously New Hampshire doesn't have as many people as Pennsylvania, but they do actually a calculation of debt per citizen, so where they do the division. And in New Hampshire, it's just over $7,000 per citizen of debt. And this is in regards to, I believe, just the state debt. We're not talking about national level stuff, right? Because then it comes up to like $100,000 per person or something like that. But the Pennsylvania state debt was, let me see if I can pull it up here again, over $10,000, I believe. Yeah, $10,700. So quite a bit more spending going on there in Pennsylvania than in New Hampshire. And, of course, there's no chance that's ever going to get under control because there's no liberty movement in New Hampshire. There's no migration of freedom-loving people that are moving into Pennsylvania. There's no movement into Pennsylvania. As he pointed out, a lot of people from New York are moving in there. So the odds that you're ever going to see any kind of turnaround to the spending spree going on there is near to zero.
For a good part of my life, basically up until about 7 years ago, I was in Pennsylvania pretty much once a week from the time I was a little kid. You know, my dad was a horse trader, and we would go to the horse auction, a couple of horse auctions in Pennsylvania, actually. Sometimes we would go to Pennsylvania twice a week. And so New Holland, Pennsylvania, which is essentially the heart of Lancaster, which is Amish country.
Right.
So there's a lot of Amish country in New Hampshire. There's a lot of Amish upstate New York. And I think one of the best places you could be if there was like a serious economic financial collapse is already be trading and with an Amish community or Amish families, because the Amish are
they're self-sufficient.
They're a huge major backbone. You will find that the English people who grow up sort of around the Amish, a lot of the kids. They like the Amish. They sort of see them as like something to look up to because they're like all the most of the Amish people are just real men. You know, the Amish aren't doing this woke nonsense. They're not not really getting into the internet. And the ones that are just, you know, getting destroyed because I actually have had a 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago was right after my daughter was born. I had the beginning of the scamdemic. I had a group discussion. It was a conference call. 8 or 9 of these Amish elders and 2 of the guys I knew pretty well were on a speakerphone at the local corner store where they had a room in the back. They would, you know, use the phone and they would have meetings in there and they wanted me to explain Facebook to them. And, because what was happening is, the youth, he would say, in their community that's starting to get on the Facebook, for example, were just becoming very addicted to it and sort of useless. They weren't interested in working. They weren't interested in, you know, like...
I thought the Amish didn't use technology.
So you can go do a thing where you go check out, like, regular English culture. And, you know...
The Rumspringa, where they go they turn 21 or something like that?
I thought it was 18, but I don't know.
Whatever, yeah.
But,
something like that.
But there is... So you can have the Mennonites... which I call Amish light.
Right. Those are the ones that, as I understood it, were more welcoming towards, you know, telephones and things like that.
Yeah,
but I could
be
wrong.
The Mennonites would have, all the computerized stuff for their milking operation. Mm-hmm. And they would have Bidey's brand new, you know, $100,000 tractor and, you know, take all the rubber wheels off it and put steel wheels on it. And you ever see a Bobcat skid steer with steel wheels on it or use one?
No. I didn't know they did that.
It's crazy. And then,
because the Mennonites in my town have tractors with rubber tires.
So some of them now they'll have steel wheels and then they'll have like rubber pads glued. Like they can't have the pneumatic process of the, the air-filled rubber tires.
Really? Bizarre.
So like they would buy like a new truck. And they would leave the tires on a truck, but they would take like the chrome bumpers and paint them black. And they would
because you can't have a reflection.
Whatever. I mean, anything that was bling or shiny.
You talking about the Mennonites or the Amish? Okay, the Mennonites.
So the Amish, the old order Amish, they're more hardcore. They were like, you know, they could have electricity in the dairy farm in the barn, but in the house, you know, he would use his, you know, gas lantern to go walk in the house, and the house was, you know, lit with. You know, propane or whatever. But the last time I was in New Holland, Pennsylvania, most of the Amish kids had a smartphone.
Wow.
And what I say by Amish kids, so the kids wearing a straw hat, you know, dressed up in, you know, the handmade clothes,
right.
Wearing, you know, some shoes they inherited from an older brother or even running around barefoot. And they're tough. You see them running around barefoot in the wintertime. It don't even bother them. You're like walking these 2,000-pound draft horses down the aisle and, you know, 12-year-old kids barefoot. And But anyways, the technology came a long way. Well, even there was a kid that he used to ride horses for my dad a lot through the auction to help my dad out when, us kids didn't go down there for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, he's, like, gone. And we see him, like, 2 years later, and we're like, hey, man. What happened to you? You know, my dad really missed you. Oh, I got busted. For what? Well, I was moving cocaine, and I got busted.
Man.
He was like 25 years old, and he ended up doing a couple years in jail.
Damn.
So, you know, the Amish get corrupted just like everybody else. And, you know, it's just, it's a thing.
Yeah, that's true. Our old friend Menno, I don't know if you remember Menno Trier,
sure.
who used to be up here.
He's a super nice guy.
Early mover for the Free State Project. I used to know him in Florida, and he was one of the, he grew up Mennonite, and then they did the Rumspringa thing where they can, you know, the kids go out into the real world, and he never came back. He went out to the real world and was like, this is great, and then never went back.
But if you have a large portion of Amish or Mennonite farmer types, they're going to be pretty resistant to a collapse. Now, a lot of them, you know, years ago had bank accounts, like, you know, 6-7 years ago, but I can remember like 15-20 years ago, a lot of them didn't have bank accounts, and they were able to get a bank account without a Social Security number.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, would this have been pre-2001? Because it was a lot easier pre-2001, before the Patriot Act. Once the Patriot Act got into play, then it
roped everybody in
really hard.
So, definitely, like, the guys I were talking to probably had the bank account since pre-2001.
Well, then again, there was a girl on the documentary series that NBC Boston put out this week, which if you haven't checked it out, you should do that.
Yeah, I don't know her. I've never met her.
NBC
Boston, from Montana?
Yeah, NBCBoston.com/freestate. I think it was in the Porkfest episode where this girl that was at Porkfest, Keturah is her name. She's from Montana, and she announced herself as someone who has no Social Security number. Yeah, she said, I'm the girl that doesn't exist or something like that. It was pretty cool. But she claimed she got a bank account with no Social Security number. And this girl's got to be in her 20s. So there's no chance she got that bank account.
You know, I have
prior
a friend
to 2001.
Back home who now identifies as a voluntarist. And he's a great guy. I used to work with him in a restaurant. And he was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never had a Social Security number. Mm.
So this girl you're talking about. Funny thing. So I do the show last week, and I got texts. So when I got home, I had a couple of Signal messages and SMS text messages from friends. Hey, great to hear you on Free Talk Live again. And
then the
next morning, the next day, I must have got 15, you know, comments like that.
Wow.
And anyways, about four people, I guess, mentioned this girl. Hey, did you meet her at Porkfest? She was on the NBC special, and you know, you should have thought, because you know, I've never had.
Because you also don't have a Social Security number.
Social Security number, and so I have recently had a discussion with a friend who says, yeah, you don't need a Social Security number. You don't need to swear to be a federal United States citizen to get a bank account. And so I kind of want to try this with a bank and file a lawsuit against them, you know, see what happens. I mean, I got other stuff.
But did you talk to her?
I have not talked to her yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, it'd be interesting to hear what her story is and how she managed to do that. She may have some advice for you.
Yeah.
The number here, if you want to join the show, it's 603-283-6160. If you've managed to open a bank account in the last 20 years without a Social Security number, you can tell your story, or you can bring up absolutely anything that's on your mind. Certainly, it'll be easier to open up accounts when we secede from the United States, I suspect. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The White House says President Biden has no plans to visit the site of a toxic train derailment disaster in Ohio.
I just don't have anything to share. I know there's a lot of interest on that.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, she said she had nothing to share on a presidential visit, noting EPA Administrator Michael Regan and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg have visited the area. The United Nations is demanding Russia withdraw its forces from Ukraine. The UN General Assembly approved a resolution calling for Russia to immediately, completely, and unconditionally withdraw troops from Ukraine. The resolution, which is non-binding, comes just one day before the one-year anniversary of the start of the war. A major storm is canceling flights, leaving people without power. Michigan is the epicenter for power outages. 800,000 people are in the dark. Dave Collins, USA News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here, and you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Matt, and Jay here in the studio tonight. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com. And you can enjoy the features we have there. By the way, I want to say thank you to Greg Lilly, who is a elite-level supporter of Free Talk Live's AMPS program. I think elite is like $100 a month. So thank you, Greg, for that epic-level support. Definitely appreciate that. And all we ask is $5 a month. So if you want to help us out, you can join Greg over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Get signed up there. Debit card, credit card, or PayPal. It is up to you. And you can help us advertise, market, promote, and support getting the message of liberty, peace, cryptocurrency, freedom out into over about 180 or so radio stations across the country. Online, of course, streaming, podcasts, satellite. We're on all those things. So once again, thank you to Greg Lilly over at amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. So it got mentioned on the show last night, this Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's this Trumper, basically. She's a Georgia U.S. representative, as I understand. And she's, you know, controversial.
Yeah, it's a name I've heard a lot about, but I don't really know why she's controversial.
She's just controversial because she has been, and I guess a little bit of credit due to her for this. I don't know a whole lot about her otherwise, but she's caused a stir at, like, the State of the Union addresses. She'll, like, heckle the State of the Union.
So she's pretty outspoken. I kind of like a lot of what she does. So she was on Tim Cass a few times, and she explained it pretty well there. That's actually when those guys first got swatted. And Luke's hung out with her.
Okay.
So anyways, but one of the things that she does that she talked about is in Congress, there'll be like a handful of representatives in Congress, in a session, and they'll start voting on bills, and like nobody's there. So there's a thing called a roll call vote, where right. everyone has to everyone in Congress has to vote on this.
And they're on the record, so you know exactly how they right. voted.
Well, what happens is a lot of times when they're in Congress, there's just a handful of these guys there, not, you know, the 538 of them or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and they just, like, start voting through bills. Mm. And so what she's been doing is forcing a roll call vote, really, really pissing the establishment off.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been giving her a real hard time about that.
Oh, yeah, they don't like that because then they're on the record.
Right, then they're on the record.
Because normally it's just a yay or nay, right? Like, yep. it's just the whole room yells and then that's it. And the same thing happens here in New Hampshire, by the way. You have to force the roll call vote on the issues that you think are important to get these guys on the record. Otherwise, you have no idea who voted how.
So anyway, and, you know, I think her and her husband own, like, a very large, construction company. And I'm sure they get all kinds of, you know, government, you know, jobs,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I don't think that's cool. And there's definitely been, but like, she's been really good about some things. She was like, she's very much for like, abolishing the ATF and the IRS and getting rid of the, that's like special licensing. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, but a lot of politicians will say those things, but they don't actually do anything about it. I mean, has she proposed a bill to abolish the IRS?
I'm not sure.
No, there's no way. I mean, they're not going to do that. What they are proposing now is the fair tax, so-called fair tax. The Republicans have finally, this was the whole thing with the, what was the guy's name? The new guy that's running the House. McCarthy. That's his yep. name. This guy, McCarthy.
Kevin McCarthy.
He was... People like Marjorie Taylor Greene weren't voting this guy in. I think she was one of the
yep,
ones that was holding
was.
Out. And they all ultimately ended up voting for him, but after holding out for a few days in order to, quote-unquote, negotiate certain things. And
yeah.
one of the things they negotiated was another Georgia rep. So maybe there's, I don't know how many there are down there, but one of the other ones has the fair tax bill, because that originally got started down in Georgia. It was Neil Bortz, the talk show host who used to pimp that thing 2 decades ago. So this thing's been around for 2 decades at least. I mean, we talked about it back, I think, when this show was still in Florida. We had a guest on the show to discuss what the so-called fair tax was. And for listeners that don't know, it's a proposal to have a national sales tax, basically, like a 23 to 30% national sales tax. Now, the normal proposal also includes getting rid of the income tax as well, which, when you kind of look at it, doesn't sound too terrible of an idea. Like, if you could actually get rid of the income tax and all the difficulties of trying to fill out that paperwork and the amount of time and money that people spend on compliance and replace it with a national sales tax, just on that front alone, seems like it's an okay proposal, but that leaves out the fact that there would then be a welfare check that every household would receive under this fair tax proposal, and then it gets a little bit more evil at that point. But the whole point of this thing is, like, these Republicans make this big show about how they're holding the line so they can get the fair tax bill in. It's like, you guys are making this big to-do about this when you know it's never going to pass because you've got Joe Biden in office. So they're acting like they've made this big deal. You know, this is like, oh, such a big accomplishment. We put our boots in the ground and we stood firm, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and her friends, so they could get this bill introduced that's never going to go anywhere. Why didn't they introduce it when Trump was in office and the Republicans were completely in charge of things?
Because they don't really care.
No, exactly. And so, like, I'm sorry, I just don't believe this woman when she's claiming that she's for this and she's for that. She's just another politician, right?
Sure.
She's just looking to curry favor with whoever it is that she possibly can. You can't trust these people as far as, I'm not suggesting you were, Jay, but, you know, I'm glad she's talking to Luke. I mean, obviously, it doesn't hurt to talk to somebody like that, but, and these people, they're not our people, right? This lady isn't Ron Paul.
Well, actually, she did compare herself to Ron Paul at one point.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, yeah. And she and like I said, what I've heard her say, I definitely liked what she had to say, you know, about freedom and the right to bear arms and getting rid of the federal government, or very much minimizing the federal government. And, you know, this whole thing, like, people got to understand, the purpose of the IRS is to essentially, all the IRS does is pay off interest on the bankruptcy debt. So basically the money that you paid in income taxes, you know, the last couple of years went towards paying off interest on World War I debt. That's all it's done. So the real solution to getting rid of the IRS is, first off, eliminating this debt, which is not real debt. And, you know, they just created up these banknotes out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what the president, like if there was a real president, like I like to tell the Trumpers, yeah, if Donald Trump was, like, you know, really for the American people, he would have told the Federal Reserve to go to hell. He would have, you know, basically everyone who's a member of the Federal Reserve Bank would be labeled as domestic terrorists, because they are. And they all would have been arrested. They would have been tried for whatever, you know, their crimes are, crimes against humanity, because that's what they have been doing. They've just been, you know, essentially financially enslaving everybody. You know, when everybody's just a slave to debt, you don't really need to, you know, have whips and chains and have slave auctions, because everybody's, you know, essentially a slave to this debt system. Just like you were reading off the debt, each individual owes like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and the plantation just manages itself.
Yeah, I mean the whole nation, the whole union of states is essentially, the United States of America is essentially a plantation for U.S. citizens.
Well, we should be clear. You don't owe $100,000 of national debt. You never signed any kind of agreement.
But somehow that's your share.
Well, that's just a load of garbage.
The way I've always seen it, the Federal Reserve is openly a private bank, right?
It is.
So if the Federal Reserve made a bad business move a long time ago of, you know, taking out, you know, debt,
of lending billions of dollars to a bad person,
and then the bad person didn't pay him back, I guess they're out of luck. They made a bad business decision. Never should have lent to that person in the first place. Now they just better write it off. That debt isn't mine or yours, nope, or Ian's or anybody's.
The people from the Texas Nationalist Movement, which is Dana Miller, they do an amazing job of promoting independence in Texas. They've been at this thing for like three decades now, so they're the ones that have the most experience at doing this. He interviewed somebody from Scotland, and there's this, like, professor. His name is Matt Quartrup. It's spelled really funny, but it's like Q-V-O-R-T-R-U-P or something. Anyway, he's a professor, and he's like the world's foremost expert on independence movements. And there actually is one currently in Scotland that he's like a part of. And anyway, he's coming to the U.S. to give a speech at some, I think, Texas university, and hopefully we'll get some video of that when that happens. But Quartrup says that there's international law that says clearly that, apparently they tried to change this, but they weren't able to, that if a state secedes from, or a nation secedes from a larger nation, that they do not hold any liability for the larger nation's debt. That's like a firm thing when it comes to international law. If you leave a larger union, you do not hold the union's debt as a smaller piece of it.
Now, as a man that's alive and can fog up glass,
yep,
I believe that I've done that. Opted out of the United States.
I think we just need like 379 million more people doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, you're never going to get that. But if you could get a small percentage of them to do it, and you could get a bunch of those people, if they love liberty, to move to New Hampshire, maybe you'd have a chance.
There is well over 100 people I'm pretty aware of in New Hampshire that have done that. They've done essentially the...
Just opt it out?
Well, the process where they, you know, get a passport application and put in explanatory mm-hmm. statement explaining they're not a federal, you know, 14th Amendment United States citizen, and that they're claiming that they're a state national, essentially, of New Hampshire, and they're explicit in, you know, the organic, you know, New Hampshire, not this, you know, legal fiction incorporation that was created in the 1880s under what's called the Lieber Codes.
A girl from Porkfest says she got a passport without a social security number.
Yeah, so I got a passport too without a mm-hmm. social security number, and they're like, you know, when I did the passport process, they rejected it two times. I had to redo it three times. The first time they said, oh, the passport agent didn't sign it. And I actually had a photo of the guy with his signature on it. When you go to the post office and a guy signs it. And then the second one, they're like, oh, you didn't furnish a social security number, and we put right in there. They have an affidavit that you do not have a social security number.
Right.
And what a lot of people are doing when they do this particular process is, one part of it is they're sending the social security number back, to the Social Security Administration, and they also send a letter to the IRS saying, I'm not participating in your program anymore. And if anybody wants to check that out, that's destinationfreedom.org. Christopher Gronsky is the guy's name who does that.
Mm-hmm.
And destinationfreedom.org. So quite simply, with one great thing about New Hampshire is we got a lot of people learning about this stuff, opting out of the system. And then you got a lot of people who are just going to, this is one guy in a chat group. He's constantly just whining about stuff. He's this chronic whiner. I bring these things up about, I'm not interested in being in a private member association, for example, with U.S. citizens.
Mm.
I would only be involved in some kind of organization or association of people who are explicitly without the United States. And, for example, that guy throws a fit about that. And a lot of people his things, I'm just going to ignore them. You ignore
good
bullies. They're just going to keep coming back. But if you put them in their place and paperwork is, a lot easier than, fighting them, physically or whatever. But you put bullies in their place and let them know you're not part of their system, and you get it on a record, and then you do a Freedom of Information Act request with the State Department that you've opted out of this. So if you go back to the international law, is that when a state or a nation or a region or whoever, a group of a collective of people succeed from something, they're not responsible for the debt. That is probably one thing that, Zelensky and, the Ukrainian corrupt government, which is, they have to be corrupt if they're in bed with the Biden crime family.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
a president, you pretty much have to be corrupt.
Yeah. They're really pissed off that the Luhansk and what's the other region over
Donetsk.
There? Donetsk. They've been, literally bombing it, shelling it since 2014.
Yeah.
And then the people of Luhansk and Donetsk, they're like, they vote to be part of Russia, and then Russia's like, all right, we're coming to your defense. There was no Russian unprovoked invasion. And now that you said that, with the so this whole land, none of these people are going to be subject to whatever debt, the Ukraine has.
Yeah.
And I'm sure with all this money that is coming from the international banking cartel, via the Federal Reserve, via the Biden crime family, who is now occupying, the White House.
I heard they're teeing up another $10 billion this week.
So all that money is quite likely going to enslave the common people of Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
and Ukraine would really like to have probably that region that doesn't want to be part of Ukraine to further enslave.
Of course.
And I'm sure
they're going to lose revenue.
And the Russians want those slaves for themselves. All governments are just, conducting,
it's a slave war.
Yeah. massive plantations. That's all these countries really are. And
Russia wants to connect their plantation to the Black Sea, in this case.
Sure. Right. And, I don't know. I guess if I had to pick a slave master, I'd rather it be, Putin, who's like, we need strong men and his woke culture is garbage, than, the pedophiles and Nazis running Ukraine.
They're all bad news. I mean,
yes.
Both Russia and Ukraine are two of the lower tier countries as far as economic freedom is concerned.
Yep. It doesn't matter where you go. You're always going to have dirtbags floating to the top. That's where they gravitate towards. You're not going to find anybody. If ever you're going to have anybody good in a position of power, it would be in the United States, and it would have been Ron Paul, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Paul was a fluke.
Total fluke.
That's all. I mean, how that actually occurred, was it just some sort of an amazing once in a lifetime kind of situation?
Completely,
I guess you could say Massey's pretty decent as well. So
sure.
There's these rare flukes,
mm-hmm.
but man, you're absolutely right. The more power there is, the more scum is going to rise to it.
So and with going back to the international law that says you can't subject these regions to the national debt that choose to break away. If you look at Article 4 or Section 4 of the 14th Amendment says the validity of the debt shall not be challenged.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So, says, you know,
I hereby challenge it.
shall not be challenged. Yeah. So, what is that about? So if an individual man or woman doesn't want to be part of the United States, I feel that that would follow under this same international law as a nation state or a whatever, because even like in a New Hampshire constitution, it says basically all power that resides in government comes directly from the people.
Right? Sure.
It says that in every constitution that I've ever read, you know.
Yeah, they couldn't possibly obligate an individual to something they didn't actually agree to. As far as debt is concerned, we know they obligate you in a lot of ways by putting a gun to your head. But as far as a legitimate debt is concerned, somebody else can't sign on to a debt for you. It's just not a thing. I can't get you into debt. You know?
Right.
I can't put your signature on something.
And this whole scam with the Federal Reserve could easily be solved by a president. And there was a guy who attempted to do that, I believe. His name was John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did his executive order 11110 to essentially, I don't remember all of it, but an element of it was to that the United States would borrow money. If they borrowed money from the Federal Reserve, there would be at no interest rate. And also, he basically brought back greenbacks. So this is why you'll see some 1965 or 1964 silver certificates out there.
Mm.
I got a few of them. You know, they're little, nice little collector things. And those silver certificates say on them, redeemable in lawful money at United States Treasury or Federal Reserve Bank. And then it says, we'll pay it to the bearer on demand, $5.
In silver.
In silver, yes. Mm-hmm.
And a dollar in silver back then was like an ounce, right?
Well, a dollar in silver, according to the Coinage Act of 1846, is a coin containing 91 hundredths, 99 fine silver, and 10 one-hundredths copper, weighing 300 and, I believe, 72 grains, which is about 7/8 of an ounce in total.
Okay.
So basically,
close to it then.
Close to 3/4 of an ounce of silver, of pure silver, is in a Susan B. Anthony dollar, for example,
mm-hmm.
to where a silver eagle is, you know, 31.1 grams. That makes it, you know, a troy ounce, not 28 grams, which is like, you know, an ounce of soda. So the, you know, that is a different measurement. But because of the Coinage Act, they, you know, made it 90% silver, 10% copper, so the silver would wear, and then they also basically, so the guys minting the silver could make a little profit when they put it into circulation, you know, it was a little less silver than an actual troy ounce.
If you want to join the show in the discussion, the number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I went to Marjorie Taylor Greene's Twitter profile here because she has been and I didn't realize she was tweeting so much. She has been tweeting a lot about the idea of national divorce over the last couple of days. I was trying to find the actual quote that she used recently that kind of got all this controversy started. They did share it last night on the show, and essentially what it said was that she believes that the states should divorce by red and blue, and that the government should be, or the national government should be reduced in size, or something to that effect. Like I said, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but the way it sounded as though she didn't really understand what a national divorce would be. She almost made it sound like that the federal government would still exist in that case. Now, she apparently did appear on the Sean Hannity program recently to explain herself on this, and we may just go ahead and share some of that coming up here if it's worth doing. I'll check it out in a little bit, and we'll see if it's actually worth sharing that interview. Because I am curious to know exactly what it is she is proposing. And you can't just extrapolate what somebody means from a 280-character tweet. You know,
right.
There's not a lot that you can really pull out of that. But there has been a lot of controversy that has sprung up within the conservative, you know, side of things, because she's a conservative person, and a lot of these opinion leaders or influencers or whatever you want to call them on the conservative side have been going off against the idea of national divorce.
Of course they have.
Yeah. And so there's one character named Matt Walsh. And are you guys familiar with this?
Sure. He's the What Is a Woman guy, right?
Yes, that's right. So I actually found this guy, I don't know, maybe like a year or so ago. He got on my radar because there was some panel he was on. He made a comment that seemed to be in favor of secession. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'll follow this guy, right? Said something kind towards secession at the time, or at least that's the way, I don't remember exactly what it was, been more than a year. And so I'll watch what this guy says. And he seems like a pretty like normal conservative guy, totally intolerant towards people who are different from him, et cetera, et cetera. And so then he weighs in on this national divorce thing, and here's what he had to say. Quote, I understand the national divorce idea, but it can't happen. And besides, I'm not surrendering half of my country to these people. I'd rather spend the rest of my life fighting with them than do that. I won't give them an inch, let alone 2 million square miles.
Guys like Matt Walsh probably wouldn't have the money and the show they have without the controversy being created,
right?
Essentially because of this divide. So this is just like telling some parasite class, you know, government employee that you're a free stater here in New Hampshire, and they like look at you like you're an a-hole because they know that if government's only... The only thing government did was protect life, liberty, and property. They're not going to have a pension because all these state employees, not all of them, but most of the ones that I've known, and that they all essentially live like drunken fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is usually fishermen's earnings aren't stolen from people with the threats of force. But what I say by a drunken fisherman, so I got guys my age, 43, who they have always have like, you know, brand new pickup truck, you know, a nice sports car, a Harley, a snowmobile, a four wheeler, a bass boat, you know, really nice RV, and they make big money working for the government. Even TJ Despy talked about this. These guys are making like $200,000-$300,000 a year working for, you know, like the NSA and stuff, but they're spending all of that money and they're basically depending on that retirement when they're done.
We're going to continue here with more because this Matt Walsh has basically the same opinion that a lot of people on the left do about national divorce. And we'll share more with you. You can share your thoughts with us. Come up here in Hour 2. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.